Thought for today. Opportunity is mine. Opportunity is mine. Opportunity is mine. What are you going to do with your opportunity? What opportunity comes facing you in life? What do you see as something important for you to do? All of us have opportunities constantly coming into our attention, and constantly we give them no attention at all. We have the opportunity to look at the sun and see how beautiful it is. We have the opportunity to take a walk in the middle of the night and walk by the moonlight. Full moon almost, beautiful, glorious moon. See how it brightly sparkles off the path as you walk along. But we sleep. We have the opportunity of taking a jacuzzi and letting the bubbles bubble all over us and massage us and make us feel just wonderful. But we don't do it. We have the opportunity to jump in the Swimex and swim our hearts out for 10, 15 minutes and just have a ball. And we don't do it. Sometimes we do it a little, but we fit it in. We fit it into our life. We fit in our meals. We stop doing our work, we dash off to our meal, we eat it, and then we dash back to whatever we're doing. We have the condition of our life of making our opportunities fit in with our regular life. We don't realize that every single thing we do is an opportunity to do something rather special and rather wonderful. What would you like as an opportunity? Oh, I'd like an opportunity to go to the moon. I'd like an opportunity to go to some dance. I'd like an opportunity to go and learn how to drive a motorboat, you know, do anything. But you have all the opportunities in the world. Anita was telling us about a girl that was very important in her life. And the girl was sort of a milquetoast. She was a mouse, as Anita called her. And she went to this class on how to be a woman. For a year they were in this class, how to be a woman, and apparently the girl didn't change very much. And when the girl left the class, she still was always one step behind the rest of the group, not pushing herself forward, but just being herself. And Anita had a special notice of that girl because she had something about her that was indefinable. And then 15 years later at the reunion, that which was indefinable for Anita became definable. The girl had laughter inside of her that bubbled out. She had self-confidence inside of her that didn't need to proclaim, I'm wonderful, I'm great, I'm successful. That inner bubble just said, I like me. And that's all that's to it. I'm not living my life to make another person happy, to make another person feel important or less important. I just like me. And so wherever that girl went, she bubbled out who she was inside. And as Anita said, nobody asked her about her life history after 15 years. They just enjoyed her presence. All the other girls were asking each other about their life history. What have you done? Where have you been? What have you accomplished? But this girl, her life history was that she liked herself, and it was written all over her. Could we write such an autobiography of ourselves? That our life history, who we are, is written all over ourselves by our liking ourselves. We have the greatest opportunity in the world to be ourselves and have fun. The greatest opportunity in the world to just love ourselves, to live who we are. Now I'm going to tell Anita, I'm going to do a sex change on her, make her a boy. I'm going to make her into a ballet dancer and a boy. I'm going to make her into a tall boy instead of a medium-sized boy like she is. And Anita would say, hey, that's not me. That's not me. Anita would say, I don't have to do that to be something. I don't have to remold my life, remodel my attitude about myself, rethink who I am. I just enjoy who I am. And as I enjoy who I am, I don't have to develop myself into anything. I don't have to develop myself into a talented being who plays games. I don't have to develop myself into anything. I just be myself and have fun. That's all I am. I don't have to pretend or make myself into anything at all. I just am myself and have fun. And that's all that matters. That's all that makes any difference at all. But we don't know that. We're looking for opportunities to be a master. We're looking for opportunities to be God. We're looking for opportunities to be superior, to be an ascended being, to be able to walk on water and walk on ice and walk on fire. We're going to do all those things. Hey, we can do that right now. We can do that right now. When we like ourselves, we are weightless. We can do anything. When we like ourselves, we are spaceless. When we like ourselves, we are totally one as all the universe. This liking ourselves is quite something. It's the greatest opportunity that we have. It's not a matter of somebody else liking us. It's we like ourselves. And when we like ourselves, everybody will find us very acceptable people. When we like ourselves, everybody in the world is going to think we are just super. What? How? Where? Who? Oh, my goodness, you are so special. And they don't ask, what's your work, what's your talent, what's your area of expertise? They don't ask that. It exudes. As Anita says, it's the bubbles inside coming out. We get turned inside out. That self of us is inside out. It's coming out. It cannot be hidden. That is who we are. That's when we like ourselves. Now, just because Anita can talk about it doesn't mean she's experiencing it all the time. She could. She could. But Anita, like all the rest of us, is looking for certain key things to happen to say that she is accomplished. Certain key things to happen to say that she has fulfilled whatever she has in her mind for herself to do. And that ain't so. That just ain't so. There are no keys. There are no indicators. There's only when we are uninhibited and like ourselves, when we just bubble. What more is there to life than to bubble and like yourself and be happy? What more is there to life? What greater feeling could you want out of being divine than to be in that, live in that inner snicker, in that inner bubble, in an inner giggle? Could you do that? What makes you happy when you look at John, when he's got that smile on his face? He's got that smile that just sort of wraps you up and says, hey, I like me, and I like everybody in my world. What's so enduring about Sylvia? You look at Sylvia, and when she has that beatific smile about her, you know, hey, everything is great in this world. You just say, wow, yes. What happens when you look at Ingeborg? When Ingeborg smiles, you think, hey, she's quite a girl. And Ellen, when Ellen talks about her grandchildren, that look on her face she should carry all the time, that look of delight, of joy, of amusement, of charm, of thrill. You see, these are things that make us so wonderful. These are things that make us so enjoyable, that make us so fulfilling to ourself. We don't have to go around in this world and prove our mastership to anybody. We just go around in this world and live our mastership inside of ourselves. And if the rest of the world sees it, super. Do you think all 20 of those girls or 19 of those girls saw this little mousy person, including herself, as being an ascended being? No. They probably all looked at her and thought, she's good, she's got something, but I have something more, you know. I have class, I have drive, I have perspicacity, I have everything that makes me so happy and joyous. But that little mouse over there, you know, she's nice, you know, and she's okay. But you see, when they come off their high horse and realize that they are indeed on a high horse and the altitude doesn't suit them, they come down and they look at the world around them. And what is it that just utterly destroys every single one of you? What destroys you so completely that you're helpless? When you look at a child laughing, when you look at a little baby giggling, you're helpless. You can't do a thing. You can't do a thing but be happy in your heart. You can't do a thing but say, hey, isn't that wonderful? That's what a real, sincere, innocent, ingenuous, not ingenious, but ingenuous attitude is. And that's our opportunity to live in that attitude. Now, where do you go to school to study that attitude? Sylvie, where do you go to school to study that attitude? Yeah, in yourself, but you look at those who are expressing it, like the little child. What does the little child do that allows it to do that? The little child is innocent. He doesn't know of all of the big rules of the world that you have to make a living. You have to make your bed. He doesn't know you're not supposed to wet in your pants. He doesn't know that you're not supposed to be sucking on your thumb. He doesn't know that. He's just enjoying life. He or she, or they or all, you know. What is it that makes you so delighted in a little child? They're uninhibited. They live a life of bliss because the world hasn't told them that they must live otherwise. Now, can you do that? Can you live a life of bliss? Can you live like that little child? And the answer is no, unless you become as a little child. Now, you've got the opportunity. I've offered you many, many, many ways of walking your spiritual path. Some you have looked at, none you have followed. But here's another way to walk your spiritual path. Think of it. Every time Ellen sees a little child, she goes bonkers. She's not herself. She just, dear sweet, oh, they're so wonderful. Oh, my goodness, goodness, goodness. She just melts in them. But she doesn't take them home with her in her heart. She doesn't take them home with her and say, what is it I like about that little baby? What is it I like about that little child, that uninhibited, innocent little person? What is it that makes me feel so good when I look at them? That's what I want to put in my heart. That's what I want to draw out of my heart. That's the opportunity to be me. Because it's you. You were once that little baby, but you have sort of put other things on top of it. Start throwing those things off. Start throwing those limitations off, all those attitudes that said, you know, you have to do, you must do, you are not, and all that sort of good stuff. The biggest one that you throw off is act your age. You know? So we should act our age as a little child. We should act our age as an innocent little being. And you know, that's just it too. It's an innocent little being. A little being that isn't troubled by taking on the world responsibilities. The little being that looks around him and sees everything happy. He sees everything joyous. Sometimes they don't. That's because their society has been working on them. But we could take that opportunity. Our topic is opportunity is mine. We could take that opportunity and study these little children. Study them. Now, Ellen, you were in that school, and Esther was teaching those children. And you were watching those children. And I was up front teaching them a song. You should have been up there teaching it to them, but I did it. And as I was teaching it to them, they followed my every gesture. I would hold my hands up, they'd lift their hands up. I'd say, "I like me," they'd say, "I like me." And they were just spontaneously beautiful. And you want to just eat them up. You want to just merge yourself with their innocence, with their joy, with their peace, with their harmony. You just want to become one with that magnificent little being who is so uninhibited, so nothing bothers him, nothing disturbs him. She's just a wonderful little being. Now, how can we become as a little child? We were told we must become as a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. But we didn't pay attention to that. We want to enter the kingdom of heaven, but we didn't pay attention to that. Here the boss says, "Hey, you must become as a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven." Have you paid attention to him? He said, "Oh, he said lots of things." That's right, he said lots of things. Psychology is saying the same thing. Psychology says, when the world gets too big for you, becomes a little child. Forget it, go on vacation. Remember? When the problems are too heavy, go on vacation. Why do you think people have vacations and some take them and some don't? It's to become a little child. When they're on vacation, what do? With their children or without their children, they run in the fields. And if they can run naked, they're all the more happy. And they love to feel the grass under their toes and under their feet. And they love the mushy mud coming up between their toes and feeling on their feet. Wow, that feels. And then to roll in it. Did you ever roll in mud? Little children love to do that. They roll in the mud and they come up so dirty. Whether they got their clothes on or clothes off, it doesn't matter. They roll in the mud and they just have a ball. They don't think a thing about it. "Mommy, I'm having such fun. Mommy, why don't you come and have fun with me?" "Well, no, I can't roll in the mud. I'm a grown lady. I'm your mother. I have to act my motherhood. I can't be like a little child." "Oh, Mommy, come on. It's fun." And so they grab a hold of Mommy and they make her fall down in the mud. She helps a little bit. And then they throw mud at her and she throws mud back at them. And pretty soon they're all filled with mud. They're all crazy with mud. And they're laughing and shouting. And Daddy comes out and says, "What's going on out here?" And they throw it right at his face. Punch! And he says, "You can't do that to me." And he throws it at them. And pretty soon he's all muddy. And anybody else who comes in the vicinity of the mud gets all muddy. And everybody is happy. There's no violence. There's no anger. They're just having fun. Come on, play. Now, are you ready to play like that? Are you ready to be the beautiful being that you are? Are you ready to walk your spiritual path? Well, let's get a mud pile going here someplace. You know how the in some of these races, John was telling us about the pig that was all greased up. And they had to catch this pig. And the pig knew that if he was caught, he would become sausage. And so he had a friend. He knew that he went right to that friend, he would not become sausage. He had a chance to perhaps become a wild boar again. But you see, all these little subtleties are going on in there. But what were the people in the game for? Did they want to catch that pig so they could have sausages? Nah. They wanted to catch that pig, or at least try, because they could get squishy and wormy. They could get all greasy. They could roll around, have a good time, and all these people would be watching them saying, go for it. Go for it. They had a chance to be like a little child. And they went for it. Why do big grown men who are lumberjacks go out in the middle of a lumber pond and stand on a log with their clothes on? And then they try to make the other person fall off. And so they twist the log this way, they twist the log. They're playing games. They're being children. Little children do that too. Not quite as sophisticated, but little children do that too. But little children don't take so long to fall off the log. See, big people think that they got to stay up on that log longer. They have to stand there and they have to play the game because the one who can stay up the longest wins. Ha! The one who falls in the water is the one who wins because he has all the fun. And he kind of, ha, beat me, but that's okay. And the other guy says, okay, who's next? But you see, the falling in the water, that's the fun. The rolling in the mud, that's the fun. The running up to the house and seeing a bunch of flowers growing there and thinking, oh, mommy loves flowers, and grabbing a fistful and going in and saying, mommy, here's some flowers for you. Mommy knows where they came from, but mommy cannot deny the delight in the child's eye to give that to her. Or the children are playing in the field, and the one little girl grabs a bunch of branches and takes them home and says, mommy, for you. And mommy says, thank you, sweetheart. Put them there and we'll take care of them. Now come in the house. I want to wash you up. She was giving her mother some poison ivy. Now her mother knew that it was pure love. And her mother knew that she shouldn't frighten her daughter about it. So she just told her to set it down and she took her in the house and washed her up so that the poison ivy would not get into her skin and make her itch. But quite likely, the poison ivy would not have disturbed the little girl because she didn't even know about it. She was doing something with so much love in her heart, it could not backfire. You see, the more we're like a child, the more pure we are in our consciousness, the more we are listening to our inner drummer, that inner music of our soul, the more we are immune to all the outer world and the games that it plays. When Richard Bach and Donald Simoda were playing their game of diving into the lake and then walking on the lake. And then Donald said, okay, now dive into the land. And Richard said, what? And so Donald dove into the land from the lake. He was standing on the lake and dove in the land. And he came up and he was swimming around and he climbed down on the lake again. And Donald says, all right. So Donald dove into the land. And he came up sputtering mud all over him. He climbed up on the lake full of mud because that was his visualization. He visualized a muddy lake. He didn't visualize a pure lake like the water lake was, but he visualized the land as a muddy lake. Now, Donald Simoda was pure childlike. He visualized everything pure. Richard is like the rest of us. We visualize things pretty much as it is, with a slight alteration that you could dive into it. It was mud. It wasn't really water. When we learn how to play the game of having fun and being ourselves, when we learn not to be touched by the world about us, when we learn to be as a little child, then we are indeed entering into the kingdom of heaven. Now, can you be a little child? Will the world let you be a little child? Here in the monastery, we let you be a little child. When you act innocent as a little child, we understand. When you act pure and undefiled as a little child, we recognize that in you. When you walk forth so wondrous, so giggly from the inside out, that everything you do is a delight to you, then it's a delight to everyone else. Not that it matters. But when it's a delight to you, you are happy, and everyone else is happy too. Ingeborg often comes up and says, "Do you know what I did? I did this, and I did this, and I did this." And I think to myself, okay, your laundry list of things that you did, you know, big deal. And she says, "And I enjoyed it so much." Then all of a sudden, the laundry list is no longer a laundry list. The laundry list is a giggle list. The laundry list is her happy list. The list of childish, innocent things that she did. Do you understand that? Do you understand what that really means? When you start understanding what that means, you see, when I ask you, "What have you done today? What have you done this morning?" I don't want your laundry list. I want your giggle list. What really made you feel like a little child? What really turned you on and made you feel a spiritual being, a master? What made you think like a little child? "I'm number one! I'm number one!" Every little child thinks they're number one. And if the little children had a vocabulary, they'd probably say, "I'm God too. I'm the creator. I'm the allness. Everything comes out of me. I speak my word and there it is. I say, 'Mommy, I'm hungry,' and there's food. I'm pretty good. 'Mommy, I want a toy.' Boom, there it is. I create it. 'Mommy, I love you.' And I get a big hug and a kiss and a smuggle, and I feel so good. I created it. I'm number one. I'm a child. I'm the creator of my world. I am the delight of the universe." Are you that delight of the universe? You really are. You can be that delight every moment of your life, in everything that you do. And then, just sort of as an added feature, sort of an added feature to being a child and being a delight, you're also a spiritually illumined being. You're also a spiritually illumined being, wanting nothing, needing nothing, enjoying everything, delighting in all the universe, delighting in all the universe so much that you just have no words to express it. This is what it means to become as a little child, and this is what it means to enter the kingdom of heaven, and this is what it means to be a spiritual master, a spiritually illumined being. Are you ready for that? Are you ready? Are you ready to roll in the mud and giggle? Are you ready to find joy in everything you do? Are you ready to laugh at everything that comes your way? If you are, you're putting on the garment of becoming a little child, and you're ready to enter into the kingdom of heaven and enjoy who you really are. I love you so much.